You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 59 for February 25th, 2013.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about everything running, from marathons to 5Ks, gear, nutrition, race registrations.
I was just about to say that. You beat me to it.
Disney races, all kinds of races. We come to you from Northern California, where the weather has been, continues to be kind of perfect.
It's been great.
Weather running.
We've been really spoiled.
We should maybe stop saying that all the time. People might get mad or jealous at the very least, but we've been very fortunate.
We've been lucky.
Around here, that kind of good weather has continued. What do we have today? Lots of little stories to kind of run through, and then we'll talk some registration stuff, as we alluded to. And then we'll kind of get into a little bit about the race that we just did this past weekend.
Another race,
of course. Shocking. So I guess let's start it like we usually do, kind of share our week and how it went. I'll let you go first.
I had kind of an odd week. Looking back at it when I was writing down what my week was like, I almost did no cross training at all. And the cross training that I did do was one day, and it was actually on Stairmaster or Stairstepper, whatever you want to call it, at the gym. I didn't do anything on the bike at all, and I actually did no weights. Not on purpose, but it just, I think I had a kind of a lot going on a lot of my evenings this last week, and that's usually when I do my cross training. So I didn't get any of that in. So I'm going to try to do better this week.
That's why I say, sometimes life just gets in the way, you know?
Life just gets in the way.
And I'm actually really happy that we had very similar weeks in cross training.
Yeah. I mean, and I actually was writing, and I was like, oh my gosh, I did absolutely no cross training. But then I remembered that I did do one, like, you know, I think it was like, I don't know if it was 20 or 30 minutes on the Stairmaster, but man, that thing's tough. But it kind of helps me, you know, get used to kind of just like power hiking up, you know,
big hills
and stuff like that. So as far as, you know, my running week goes, I had a pretty good week. I ran 39.9 miles. If I would have known I was 0.1 off, I would have just ran another 0.1 at some point.
So you,
for meeting 40.
You basically just did a goofy this week.
Yeah.
There you go.
But over several days.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that included a 5-mile incline run on the treadmill and 8.5-mile trail run over at Las Trompas again. That was kind of, or no, it was brutal. We've been talking about Las Trompas a couple times now, last couple of weeks, but I did part of trail that I've done before and then added a little extension to, I think it's called Devil's Hole, which is pretty steep. I had read a couple of, you know, reviews or whatever you want to call them online ahead of time, and I did warn that it was pretty steep, but I was like, it'll be okay. But no, it was, they did not exaggerate. It was pretty steep. So even going down, it was one of those things where I was almost walking in some parts just because I was like, if I don't walk, I'm just going to fall. So I had to even walk some parts downhill, and then coming back up it was mainly walking. So it was a pretty tough 8.5 miles. I think I got like almost 3,000 feet of elevation change in about 8.5 miles. So I was pretty tired after that. And then the next day was the race that we did, the NorCal half marathon. So that was my long run for the week.
For the week.
Although I'm technically in taper mode.
For Way Too
Way
Cool.
Way Too Cool, which is in less than 2 weeks.
Countdown begins.
Yikes. So that was my week. I think that was, let me make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope, that was it. How was your week?
Okay, my week was pretty straightforward week. Got my Tuesday run in, got my Thursday run in. Weekend was just the race on Sunday, which we'll talk about later. So kind of not much to say there. I'm going to give, I guess, like 4 weeks ago, I started talking about lose it and trying to drop a couple pounds. So I'm going to give what I'm going to call my last update on that, because I've kind of completely abandoned use of the app. I don't think I touched it at all this week, except for, I think, once or twice to actually just record what my weight was that day.
Oh, but not to actually put any of your food in?
I don't think I put any food in this week. I definitely did not put any exercise in. So maybe someday I'll just, as randomly as I started using it, maybe I'll randomly go back to it. But I don't expect that to happen. So I think all in all, I think it's been 4 weeks. I think I've lost 7 pounds. So I'm actually pretty happy with what my weight was this morning when I checked it. So I'm like, okay, I think overall, pretty sure it's like 7 pounds. So not bad. It was kind of a good education, just using Lose It to kind of teach me how many calories are in a lot of the foods that I eat. So no regrets, totally worth doing, but I don't think it's something that I'm going to continue doing going forward. So I'm still going to try to take some of those little lessons on how I'm eating and take those with me going forward to still maybe drop a few more pounds is still the goal, but I'm not going to work so hard at recording every little detail of what I'm eating. So
still kind of have the same goal, but not necessarily using the app or anything like that.
Right.
Or being so stringent, I guess, maybe in your recordings.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that's why I said, you know, this will be my last update on that because I'm kind of just done with it at this point. It wasn't, you know, difficult. It was just kind of, like I said, you just kind of get tired of entering all the calories and I don't know, just kind of want to skip over it, I guess, and not worry about it. It's one less thing to do every day, like then enter some stuff after every meal. So
I still think though, just from using it in the past, that if you continue to use it, it just becomes part of your routine. And so it doesn't feel like it's taking a lot of your time or that it's that tedious. It's just something you do.
So maybe if I had stuck with it a little bit longer?
Maybe. I mean, I ended up using it for like a year, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do they say? It takes 21 days to make a habit.
Right.
So I didn't even make it really 21 days.
Would you make it like 15? 16?
Yeah, it's funny. It would have been like probably 17 days or something like that.
Oh, so close.
So maybe I'd stuck it with it just a few more days. I could have actually turned it into a habit. But like I said, maybe I'll randomly go back to it just as randomly as I started it in the beginning. So.
And then it'll be a new update.
Right. Yeah. And maybe I'll mention it again. The other thing that I did, I mentioned before, going to try to do some more trail running. So I actually went shopping for some shoes at a local shoe store. So I kind of had in mind what I wanted to go try on. So I actually purposely went out to try the Brooks Adrenaline ASRs, mm-hmm. which are the running shoes that you use.
Right.
And I wanted to try on some ASICS, I guess they're still GTs, but ASICS 2000 Trails, mm-hmm. which are very similar to Irenicayano. So it's kind of the closest thing that ASICS makes. Both of those are kind of not hardcore trail shoes. Mm-hmm. I know the ASICS for sure is almost like a hybrid between like a road shoe and a trail shoe. So it's not too hardcore, but went out to actually Fleet Feet, which they're Fleet Feet everywhere.
Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised at how limited the selection was for trail shoes.
Yeah.
I kind of only remember like four or five on the wall. Trail shoes, maybe there was some other stuff there, but that's kind of what grabbed my attention. And just in general, I kind of really paid attention that like, oh, there's not as big a selection for shoes that maybe I didn't remember in the past at Fleet mm-hmm. Feet. And maybe I'm, you know, been to a lot of Fleet Feet. I've been to a lot of Roadrunner Sports. And if my memory serves me correct, Roadrunner Sports has a much better selection. Seem to have a lot more shoes out on their wall. So I was able to try on the ASICS 2000 there. Tried that on first. Felt super comfortable. As soon as I threw it on, went for a little run out the store. Felt pretty good. So I was like, okay, cool. That's, you know, that's not surprising because I wear ASICS shoes. You know, I've run in Kayanos. I've run in 2000 series before. I have like a pair of the 1100s. So I think some old 1160s that I wear all the time and are super comfortable. So feel very comfortable in ASICS. They actually, at Fleet Feet, didn't even have the Brooks Adrenaline ASRs.
Yeah.
So couldn't try
surprising.
That on. And so they gave me some Brooks Cascadias to try on, which is a little bit more of a serious trail shoe, but not necessary for my foot type really. So tried it on. Immediately didn't feel fantastic at all. I was like, no. So didn't get any shoe there because I wanted to try on the Brooks Adrenaline. Ended up at a store called Any Mountain Sports. I don't even know if that's a California only store. Or it's
I have no idea.
But it's more of like a hiking, camping, snowboarding, skiing store.
Yeah.
But because they have a lot of hiking shoes, they also have a few trail running shoes, which I wasn't even sure. I just kind of popped in just to check. And they actually did have Adrenaline ASRs. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm lucky I tried this store out. Was able to try them on. They felt okay. The toe box seemed a little bit small to me, mm-hmm. as compared to
like narrow. Or?
Yeah, it was a little bit narrower. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole shoe actually fit a little bit tighter, I thought, than the ASICS did. So I think I'm gonna. Well, I already did actually order a pair of ASICS.
I think I'm going to.
Done.
Actually
did order last night some ASICS 2000 Trails from Running Warehouse. So I'll have those in 2 days because they do 2 day shipping.
Yeah, they're quick. I like that.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about the ASICS was the tread on the bottom isn't as aggressive as the Adrenalines. But I'm like, that's okay. This is kind of like my first trail shoe and who knows actually how much trail running I'll do over the next 6 months or a year.
Right.
So this is kind of my introduction into it and I'm okay with that. But I was just really happy that it felt super comfortable. So I'm going to go with that. So 2 days I'll have that. Also order some Body Glide. I think every runner should have some Body Glide.
Yeah. We're always going through that like crazy too, it seems like.
Yeah.
Between the two of us.
Yeah. So, And, you know, Running Warehouse, good prices, at least on the shoes. Body Glide seems to be always full price.
Everywhere.
Wherever you go. Wherever it's you like go. Never on sale, never on a discount. It's like they don't have to do that at all. So I'll have those in a couple days and probably run in them next weekend. So I'll let everybody know how that goes. Hopefully it works out like I think it should. So, all right. Anything else that we got to talk about for the or weeks? No, that's kind of our weekend training. So let's get into some kind of running news and what's going on in the world. Start with kind of the straightforward stuff. Big time elite athletes. Galen Rupp breaks the U.S. indoor 3K record in Stockholm. I think that was like last week sometime. So he's definitely on fire, I guess, this year. You know, we talked about him from the Olympics where he was the silver medalist in the 5K or 10K.
I don't remember. I was hoping you were going to ask me because I couldn't remember between the two.
That was a test. You failed. But I don't remember either. So, and that's his actually, Rupp's time is actually the fastest time in the world. He also has the fastest mile of the year so far, which we're only in February, but still.
But that time is crazy. Like the mile time, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, his mile time is 3:50. So
that's crazy.
It's hard for me to even comprehend that kind of time. His old training partner, Mo Farah, who we actually talked about, I think it was last week, because he was going to do the London Marathon the first half
That's right. We talked about that.
He actually set a British record with his for the half marathon. He ran Rock and Roll New Orleans this past weekend and won that, although it was kind of a hard-fought race. There was two of them down the stretch, so I think he had to kick it out at the end. But he ran that in, if you want to talk about crazy time, 60 minutes and 59 seconds.
That's crazy.
Kind of ridiculous.
That's like an awesome 10K time.
Yes. That's a fast 10K time. Yeah. That's not even a slow 10K
Forget,
time.
Add like, you know, almost 7 miles to that.
Yeah, so they both, they're both actually former training partners. I don't know how much, I don't think they've really trained with each other lately, and I don't know if they're going to go back to training with each other anytime soon, but I know Alberto Salazar, who I think coaches them both or has coached them both, said they're both now going to take a few weeks off of running completely, and then after that, it's time to get ready for the kind of outdoor season. They both kind of did the indoor thing right now.
Yeah.
Although not really Mo Farah. He was in New Orleans. But they get some well-deserved time off. I guess we all take time off.
Yeah.
Including the elites. Other elites this weekend actually at the same race, which was Rock and Roll New Orleans.
We should have been there.
I know, right? Like, we didn't even think about it. No. Or had we known so many of these people would have been there, I would have actually considered it. But Shalane Flanagan and Kara Goucher, kind of the top U.S. women, were out there, and neither one of them won, but Shalane, I think, finished
second,
and Kara Goucher went fifth, so not bad. So
good finishes.
Yeah, good finishes. I guess they're both kind of prepping for Boston in April, so that'll actually be a good one to catch if we... It's on TV usually, right? Nationally? I'm not sure. No.
Boston?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, that's going
to
be a bummer.
Because I think last year we tried to recorded or something or see it
and it wasn't there.
Yeah,
if you're in Boston, I think they do cover it on local television, so
I would hope so.
Yeah, that'd be... I'm gonna travel to Boston just to watch those, watch it on TV. No, that's too crazy. What else is going on? Non-elite runners, the big story, it's not really a big story but interesting one, is I saw this on ABC actually, a 9-year-old by the name of Nicholas Tuchek, which is a cool name by the way, is gonna be on his way to Antarctica to run a marathon. So this young guy has decided that his goal is going to be to run a marathon on every single continent. So he's heading to Antarctica with his dad to check that one off his list. This is actually only going to be his second marathon. So
he just ran his first one like this past fall or winter
like
or something,
that.
Right?
So kind of crazy that if you're going to kind of do this quest for all the continents that you would jump so soon at Antarctica.
Yeah.
But, maybe that has a lot to do with time of year and weather and when you can go. And I'm not even sure if he's running an official race there.
Or
if he's just running
26.2.
So
I would think it'd have to be an official race if you're going to try to run a marathon.
It should be. Should be certified, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So kind of interesting. I know there's a lot of criticism every time there's a young kid in the news for running, of whether he should be running these kinds of distances. I remember that story of the two young girls
that
are like big into marathons and trail running and stuff. So I know a lot of times the parents have taken a lot of criticism to whether, you know, kids should be taking all this kind of mileage on. So I have no opinion, and I'm going to stay out of that whole conversation because I don't know. So
right. I go back and forth, and I kind of have some pros and cons. Yeah. So I'm going to stay out of it, too.
Yeah, because I really have no idea and no opinion on it, to be honest. So he is trying to raise money for Operation Warm, which is a charity that was founded 15 years ago by his actual grandfather. And they provide coats to children in need. So, I mean, that's kind of cool. At least it's a fundraising thing. So,
right. Good cause.
Wish him luck. And his dad, because his dad to do it to him. I'd actually be curious. I know his dad runs marathons and stuff, but I'd be curious to know what the dad's times are and kind of how much running he does, you know? So what else we got going on this past weekend? Disney World, right? Princess Half Marathon.
Princess Half Marathon.
Went on. So
I think it was the fifth annual.
Right.
Fifth anniversary.
So I think we talked about the medals, I think last week or the week before. Yeah, we did. So I think it was supposed to be a hot weekend. They actually pulled a heat advisory.
Right. I think similar to what we had, I think, when we did Goofy. They had a heat advisory basically saying, you know, like, make sure you're staying hydrated, wear sunblock. You know, this is definitely not the race for you to go out and try to do your PR. Definitely hold back, you know, make sure you're hydrating well. And if there's any signs of, you know, heat, you know, stroke or exhaustion or anything like that, definitely, you know, get some help. And really not to overdress too, as far as, you know, clothing goes. So try to dress for about 20 degrees warmer than what the forecast is. Yeah.
So you actually grabbed the numbers for the race.
I sure did.
Which was?
Let's see. Let me pull that up. So as far as finishers go, and this is just for the half marathon. They also had a 5K. Was 22,721 total finishers. Of that, 1,499 were men.
So 5%.
5%. Yeah. So 21,222 women for the half marathon, which it is, women's. I don't want to say women's specific event, but it is very tailored.
Very much.
Tailored to women?
Catered
to? I mean,
to?
Princess.
I don't know. Yeah,
marathon?
Right. Yeah. It's a woman's themed event, I guess.
There
you
go.
Say.
That's the best
the
way. I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah. I mean, men definitely not excluded, but.
Yeah. So, I mean, we saw a lot of the pictures from the event.
Yeah.
Lots of costumes. Pretty popular thing. I know a lot of people, we were kind of reading through, I think you more so through the Facebook comments. A lot of people said the expo was kind of crowded or super crowded.
Yeah, they were saying the expo was crowded, and not sure how much of that had to do with the fact that it wasn't at the Wide World of Sports, the ESPN Wide World of Sports. It was at, I can't remember where it was. I want to say Coronado.
I think that's right.
I think, okay. So they were, you know, not sure how much of the crowdedness had to do with the fact that it was at a different location, or was it just a crowded expo? I mean, when we went to the expo for Goofy, it was super crowded. Yeah, and that was a Wide World of Sports. The other thing that they did a little bit differently was, you know, because of people flying in, you know, for the race, you know, and some of them coming in from areas where there was, you know, storms, they actually allowed people to pick up their bib race day for the event. If they, you know, flights got delayed and they weren't able to come in for the expo the day before. So they put out an announcement on that too. So I thought that was pretty cool to be able to do that. Because usually, you know, no race day.
Right.
Bib pickup. So
yeah, I give Disney a lot of credit for making that adjustment on the fly and realizing it would be tough for people to kind of get there in time to do that. And, you know, it's a weather thing and people don't have control over that. So
exactly.
I think that's fair and the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, anything else on Princess?
I think the only other thing, kind of a common theme that I kept reading about or hearing about, was that the course was pretty crowded. I did take a look, and it looks like the actual course for the half marathon is actually the same for the Princess Half Marathon as it is for the Disney World Half Marathon in January. So we actually ran that course. And I mean, as far as total finishers, it's probably very similar numbers to when we ran it, I think. Do we have about 20,000 doing the half?
I was going to say yes, and now I'm blanking on numbers. So.
Okay. I think it was a very similar number. So, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of people. You were never really like by yourself, but I don't know if people maybe were expecting to be able to like
have a little bit more room.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. Maybe be able to get PRs and stuff like that. So I know there's kind of a kind of going back and forth on people saying, oh, you should cap it at a smaller number. And other people saying, well, then you're going to exclude a lot of people that want to do it. So, you know, people are just kind of going back and forth. So,
yeah. Getting that perfect number where everybody's happy is,
yeah,
number one, virtually impossible.
Yeah, I don't think there is one.
And number two, that's just kind of tough figuring out, you know, how to do that. You know, there's so many people that want to do these races, which kind of leads into the next topic.
Right.
Which we were definitely involved with this week was Chicago Marathon registration opened up on, what's that, Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
So that's a race we said that we were going to register for.
Right.
And registration opened at noon Central Standard Time.
Yes.
So we'll kind of tell you, for us, it was 10 a.m. Pacific time. So I know I jumped on the website at a couple minutes after 10, mm-hmm. and I didn't even see a link to register.
Right.
In the first, like, 5 minutes. Like, you'd go to the Chicago website, and there was kind of just no link. It was just, like, registration's going to open.
Right. It's like they hadn't updated it yet, kind
right.
of.
Right. Yeah. So that was kind of it that I saw. And you got the same thing, right?
I got the same thing. I kept checking back.
And then 10, 15 minutes later, mm-hmm. did you check back? And there was finally a link.
There's finally a link.
That would take you over to another page for registration.
Right.
And that just didn't work?
Well, I got a mixture of when my browser was trying to open up that page, I would get an error saying that, you know, like, page can't be found, or, you know, like, I forgot exactly what it said, but I kept getting, like, error messages, or it would open up and then I'd click on the event where it said, it'd say register now, you know, Chicago Marathon. So I'd click on that and then it'd open up a new window where you would, you know, put in your name, all your information, you know, your t-shirt size. And I got a mixture of being able to fill out that form, but not go past that form, or not even having that form load. So I kept going, like, back and forth for, I don't even know how long. I think I kept trying every once in a while, cause, you know, I wasn't somewhere where I could actually sit at the computer, you know, like, nonstop and be able to do that. So I had to kind of come back and forth. And I don't remember how much later I was finally able to go through the whole registration process. I thought it actually got me to the payment page, which was the last one, entered in my payment information, clicked whatever it said, you know, whether it was like finish or register or submit payment. I don't remember exactly what it said. And then you could see that it's loading a new page and it says, you know, please wait. It could take up to 3 minutes for this, you know, to process your information. Like, don't hit reload again. You might get charged twice. And then I actually left the computer because it was taking a long time, came back like maybe 10 minutes later, and I had an error on that page. And I was like, oh, I'm like, well, I don't even know if I got in, you know, I don't know if I took my payment. I don't know if I should try again. And they did have a new button on the Chicago Marathon page, or a new link, I should say, where you could check for your registration. So I went onto that. You could check to see if you were mm-hmm. registered, and entered my name and it showed me as registered. So I just figured, okay, it did go through because my name's listed, but I just didn't get any confirmation of it. So then I don't know if you were trying to register at that point.
During this whole time, I was, you know, not sitting at my desk nonstop, but I would continuously kind of go back to the website, and I kept getting some type of error bounce back that I was unable to register either. So
right.
I think you told me that you were able to register for yourself, and then you, thankfully I got you, because you ended up registering me after that, right?
Right.
Did you have to try several times to get my registration?
Yeah, but not as many times as I had to try when I registered. Mm-hmm. And then same thing happened though when I did when I completed the payment information for your registration, you know, it was loading again, and then it actually did give me a window that said you've registered. And then I think I got an email with like the payment receipt, and I think you got an email with the registration confirmation.
Right.
Yeah. Which at that point I kind of panicked again, cause I'm like, well, I didn't get any of that for me.
Right.
Maybe I didn't register, but I checked the link again that said, you know, confirm your registration. And both of us were on there, and I figured, okay, well, if I'm listed on there, something went through. Maybe the confirmation is just delayed. And I think I didn't think that so much was happening at the time. I mm-hmm. just thought like, oh, my stuff's just going to be delayed. I'll get it later. But I mean, between, I guess, registration opening and both of us being registered, it was like an hour and a half.
Right.
Later, maybe 2 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know, the whole story here is, you know, basically registration for Chicago was a disaster.
Yeah.
Registration was open for several hours. Tons of people with the exact same stories that we had that just tried and tried and tried. Some people were able to get in and register. Some people just could never register. Some people ended up with multiple registrations. I saw comments from people on Facebook that literally were registered 5 times, because I guess they went through the payment screen and then they got some kind of type of error and it would kick them back out and they'd kind of just do it again.
Right.
So it ended up processing multiple times. So, you know, and people just, you know, people were frustrated because they couldn't register at all. Lots of people posting comments to Facebook. We should mention all the registration for Chicago is done through active.com.
Right. I don't think I mentioned that.
So I think most of the anger by people trying to register was, for the most part, directed at Active and not necessarily at Chicago Marathon.
Right, right.
What ended up happening was Chicago ended up suspending registration, mm-hmm. basically shutting it down.
Later that day.
They gave an update, said, you know, temporarily shutting it down. We're going to give you an update in a couple hours. Or I think they even said like 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, I think is what they said. that they would give an update. Even more comments coming through on Facebook, you know, couldn't register. This is ridiculous. This is crazy. What's Active doing? You know, they should have known this was coming.
Right.
I think Chicago last year sold out in 6 days. You know, we've seen Marine Corps sell out crazy fast.
Mm-hmm.
We actually joked that, you know, in registering for Chicago, we didn't think it would sell out in day one. But were going to just register anyways. And exactly. I think that's the lesson to take away from this is if you're trying to do some of these big, huge, popular events.
And something you definitely want to do.
You know, if you're...
Don't wait.
If you're sure you want to do it, just jump in there, you know, the minute it opens and register. Because I think one of the conversations we were having this week is, you know, depending on your situation, are you going to be more upset that you didn't get in because you waited? Or because you jumped in at the first minute, you paid your registration, and then 8 months later, you couldn't do it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would be more upset if it's just a race that I wanted to do and I couldn't get in than losing the money by registering 8 months in advance. And then, you know, if you get injured or something happens.
Something unforeseeable.
Then you can't do it and you're out the money. But, you know, I would still rather go the route of getting in and losing the money than just waiting and not being able to get in. But I think going forward, this is going to be a bigger problem every year.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get any better.
You know, oh, is Chicago going to go to a lottery soon?
Right. Are you going to probably have qualifying times?
Right,
or
qualifying times. I mean, they're going to have to do
like
something.
New York?
You could also see the prices jump up.
Right.
I think this year Chicago registration was $175.
Yeah.
So you could see that jump to $200 to see if that kind of reduces the number of people that want to get in. But
so better that we're doing it now because price could go up.
Well, I mean,
that's with everything now. Price could go
up. I mean, I'm actually happy we're doing it now. You know, I'm really happy that and excited that we actually got into
Me
the
too.
Race, number one. I'm glad that we got in because I don't know what next year is going to be. Is it going to be a time thing? Is it going to be, you know, a lottery system? Is it just going to be twice as hard to get in?
Right.
You know, maybe it's the same type of system next year, but, you know, it's an extra 5,000 people trying to get in.
Right.
And it's even harder. So, you know, I actually think the Chicago Marathon actually did a pretty good job of communicating things as time went on.
Yeah, they kept posting updates on their Facebook page and right. then also on the actual webpage for the Chicago Marathon.
Right. So I think they ended up that 5 p.m. update that they did that day. They said, you know, register. We, you know, we had to suspend registration because we had all these problems. We apologize for the problems. Those of you that ended up with multiple registrations, you know, Active is going to process refunds and get you that money back. They said you were going to be getting confirmation emails if you did register.
Right.
You should get a confirmation email that day. That way you know for sure that you're in. I think at some point they took down the online thing to check if you were registered online.
Yeah, they did for a period of time. They said, well, they were kind of cleaning up the duplicate registrations.
Right. They said at that time that registration was suspended and there were still 15,000 spots remaining mm-hmm. for the race. So, you know, Chicago's 45,000 to begin with. So that would say 30,000 registrations went through. The big question I know at the end of the first day was none of us really knew whether that 15,000 available spots accounted for the people that registered five times.
Right.
They subsequently, at some point later, I don't even know if it was that day or the next day, they did make the response to say that the 15,000 available spots already accounts for the multiple entries. So there truly was only going to be 15,000 additional spots available.
When they reopened registration.
When they reopened registration. They did finally make the announcement that they would make another announcement. This gets really complicated. This coming Thursday, February 28th, is they're going to announce what they're going to do going forward.
Right. So they have not reopened registration as
Correct.
Of now.
Yeah.
And as far as we can tell, are not going to be opening it before Thursday, February 28th.
Right.
And maybe not even then either.
I doubt it.
I see them announcing when maybe they're going to reopen it.
Right.
Like saying, okay, maybe next Monday or whatever it may be.
And I hope they give people like another week's notice. You know, I hope they come Thursday on the 28th and say, we're going to reopen registration on March 10th. Mm-hmm. That way kind of, you know, the one thing I'm glad that they actually just shut down registration and kind of took the time to figure things out and figure out what's going on. And then, you know, presumably announce later on when they would eventually reopen registration rather than suspending it all and then kind of at random 10 hours later reopening it. Because it wouldn't be fair.
And people don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would have been mad if, you know, I read all this stuff is going on and they suspend registration and then the next morning I look and they opened it up at midnight and now it's sold out.
Yeah, you just missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good news is if you were on the fence about Chicago, You still have some time.
That's true.
To register for the last 15,000 spots. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see when they reopen it and kind of what the process is going to be when they do that. Hopefully this is something for active.com to learn from, because aren't we opening Marine Corps Marathon registration is in a month or 2 months?
I think so.
Registration opens. So I think that one traditionally sells out faster than Chicago.
Although, do they use Active or do they use something else?
I'm pretty sure it's active.com.
Okay.
So assuming it is active.com, you know, they're on warning that they really need to be prepared for that race, which is going to be probably even a faster, crazier registration process. I know I felt bad for one lady. She said on Facebook that she was a teacher. And she's like, can we have something for teachers to register? Because, like, we can't be sitting at a computer
right.
at, like, 10 a.m. or noon.
Exactly.
Which I was thinking, actually, it would actually be kind of cool if a race like Chicago, there was, like, 45,000 entries, if they said, you know, we're going to open registration on the first whatever month, you know, we're talking about here. We're going to open 10,000 spots at 8 a.m. We're going to open 10,000 spots at 3 p.m. We're going to open up 10,000 more spots at 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
and kind of stagger them.
For people with different work schedules.
Yeah, that way it's kind of like we'll spread it out. You know, the downside is some people will have multiple chances to get in versus other people who have one. But if you do have a job and you just can't get to a computer in the middle of the day,
you may actually have one chance instead of zero.
Right. I mean, like, you know, you have that shot at that last 10,000 spots right. or something like that.
Or
so.
you're hoping maybe somebody else will register you, or yeah, it just gets,
I mean, that's kind of the situation you're in now. If you absolutely can't get to a computer at the time
to
register,
have somebody else do it.
You have to have somebody else do it, give them your credit card and right. say, please try to do this. And, you know, that would have been a disaster here because you'd be asking somebody, can you try to register? And they're like, oh, I can't, you know, and they're trying. And
right. And how long were they spending in front of the computer trying to register you?
You know, some of us runners might spend an hour at a computer trying to register. But if you're asking a friend or a loved one to do
they'll
it,
try
they
a couple times
like,
and be like, eh, there's an error.
Yeah, it's broken.
Sight's down.
It's broken. You take care of this. So I know Chicago one time they posted a phone number and said to email them if you have problems. But with the number of people that were trying, I don't know if they actually took calls or got back to people. But yeah, so 15,000 spots. We're super excited that we got in.
Yeah. We both got in. That was the other thing. I know there were some people posting, like, you know, when there was, like, not just couples, but, like, close friends or running buddies where, like, one of them got in, the other one didn't. So now the other one's, like, waiting to see if they're going to be able to get in when they reopen. So,
I mean, that reminds me of, you know, the one thing I do like about Nike Women's in San Francisco is that's a race that goes to the lottery, but you can register as like a group.
Right.
I mean, you've done this more than I know about it, but you register. So you get like your four friends, you register as a group, and then you're either all in or you all don't make it in
right.
for the lottery.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of, I mean, it'd be horrible if you're married spouses or a family or, you know, you got your running partners or something and you wanted to go do a big race that's a lottery based and two of you get in and two of you don't.
Right. Then what?
You know, if you're a married couple and the husband gets in and the wife doesn't. And so do you do the race and then the next year you have to try for the other person and then you might end up flying to wherever this race is multiple times and
right.
it ends up being a lot more expensive than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I give credit to Nike Women's for that group
for
thing.
Doing the group thing.
I don't know what other races that are lottery that do that or don't do that. Maybe they do. I don't have any experience with it, but I think that's kind of the way to do it. And that might become more important as we get to more and more crowded races.
Yeah.
So,
but we both got in.
Yes. Yay. Thanks to you. You actually have all the luck registering for stuff. I can never get through.
I know.
So.
You know, I know off topic, but for camping reservations too.
Yeah.
Like
I never have any
luck. We're trying
to
get like, you know, very popular camping reservations. Like I somehow always, not always, a lot of times get through and manage to get a site. So
and nobody else
funny.
Does.
Right.
So you must
that's
have
so
the fastest computer or the lucky fingers on typing or something. So.
I have the fast fingers maybe.
There you go.
On the keyboard.
So speaking of race registration. We should mention that CIM, California International Marathon, which is one of our favorite races, I guess you could say, registration opens on March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's going to be $85, quite a big difference
yes.
from Chicago's $175.
Right.
But $85 for 2 weeks is how they do it. The first 2 weeks is at $85, and then it jumps up to $105 after that for a very long period of time. And that CIM typically does not sell out. Does it sell out? I mean, if it does, it's like way at the
end. I think it sold out last year, but it was at the end.
Yeah, so.
But I'm not taking my chances.
Yeah, I just confirmed before we started recording. I said, we are in for CIM, right? And you said, yeah. So I think we're just going to go ahead and register on March 1st.
Yeah.
And that just goes back to the thing of, I'd rather just pay the $85 because I'm pretty sure we're going to do it. I mean, the only reason I think we don't do it is if there's some type of emergency or running injury. So either way, I'd rather just pay the $85, guarantee my spot, and take the chance that something can always happen. But because they don't do any deferrals or transfers at all.
No.
So, and you know, we could always say registering early usually saves you some money. So,
right.
I always figure all those races that I sign up early for that save me a lot of money makes up for that one that, you know, maybe someday I won't be able to do.
Right.
Which really hasn't happened. So knock on wood. So, CIM, really cool event. We'll be out there again for sure doing that. So we'll actually
hopefully,
do Chicago.
Hopefully in slightly better weather. No, not slightly. Hopefully in much better weather.
Yeah, much better weather. But CIM is actually 8 weeks after Chicago.
8 weeks after Chicago.
8 weeks. So kind of back-to-back marathons, I guess you could say. But that'll be interesting and looking forward to that. CIM does one weird thing with their registration is at some point registration closes for kind of general registration. And then you have to have a certain qualifying time.
To register.
Yeah. So it's like a month or two where you have to have a qualifying time. And then at the very, very end, they'll open it back up to everybody. So if you're thinking about doing it and want to wait, just do it before those time requirements become a problem. So.
Right.
All right. I think that's all the running news for today.
I think that's all we had on there.
So race report. We did NorCal half marathon yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is in Niles, California.
Right.
Which is in the San Francisco. Yeah. A tiny little town actually in the San Francisco Bay Area, just kind of in the middle of the bay, but kind of has like a little tiny downtown.
Middle of the Bay Area. Not like in the middle of the bay, just floating.
No, that would be Alcatraz. No race on Alcatraz, to my knowledge. Could always do a race on Angel's Island, which is
that is just in the bay.
There might actually be. I'm not sure.
I think there is actually.
A small little trail run.
Anyways.
Side tangent there. It's kind of near Union City, California, Fremont, California, if anybody is from the area and kind of knows. But NorCal Half Marathon is, you actually wrote down the numbers. 528 finishers for the half.
Yeah. Pretty even split between men and women. 260 men, 268 women. Like that's pretty close. They also had a 5K. So 395 finishers for the 5K. Definitely more towards the women. 242 women and 153 men. So I think this was the third or fourth year that they had the NorCal half. Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I know the interesting thing was historically this race was in San Jose, California.
Yeah.
Which is big city.
Right.
So they've definitely moved this event, and I don't know if they've actually made, I mean, the race is smaller just by virtue of being in a small city. I'll call it small, but I don't even know if the number of participants has changed at all from moving it from San Jose.
Because the first year it was in Niles.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was a reason behind that. I know based on the course, it definitely would have been cheaper to have the race in Niles than in San Jose because this is a lot of it was basically on like trail.
Yeah.
So they did have packet pickup day before.
Yes.
So there was an option when you registered to have stuff mailed, but
you had to pay for that.
I think it was like $20 or something.
Yeah. And then you could also, when you registered, you could also have the option to do, I think it was race day pickup, but it was like $10 to do that.
Right. So we did go out the day before, picked up our shirts and our bib.
Picked up our black shirts.
Black shirts.
Now, and every time we get a black shirt, I have to say it because was that last year sometime? You're like, I don't have a black shirt. Now we've gotten like five of them or something.
No goodie bag. They did virtual goodie bags, which can I say? I don't like virtual goodie bags.
I don't either. I like getting like an actual, physical. Even if it's like a little mini Clif Bar. I like that. Like, just give me a little mini Clif Bar and I'll be happy with that.
Something you can take home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of feel like a poor thing when you're, here's my bib and my shirt. Thank you.
Here's your four safety pins. It's like bib, shirt, four safety pins.
So
I think especially when they actually call it like an expo, which they did, they called it a little mini expo or something like that.
And it's funny because they actually did have some tents set up, and I think I saw the only one that actually had people at it was some chiropractic services.
Oh, that and the pacing team.
Oh, pacing team.
That was it.
Okay. I actually didn't even notice that one. So
I think there was like one guy with like one sign.
This is what the signs will look like. Right. So we picked it up day before. Then Sunday was race day. 7:30 a.m. start, something like that. Ended up being a little bit colder than I thought it would be in the morning, although kind of the sun popped right out in the morning.
Yes, of course it was that debate again. Gloves or no gloves? Arm warmers, no arm warmers? You know, short sleeve, long sleeve?
I was just really cold, you know, walking around before the race. So I ended up going with gloves, and I think you did the same thing, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, parking was super easy. They had several small lots. You had, some of them were like paid fundraisers for, mm-hmm. no one was Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts. And I don't know what the other ones were.
I don't either.
Yeah.
But it was pretty easy in the morning. I should say SVE Timing, which is a timing company that I mentioned before that I really like because all the races seem to go off without any issues.
Yeah.
And they have the results like super fast.
Yep.
So they did another awesome job. But everything pre-race was set up very nice. I think they had water out there, porta potties, lots of porta potties, kind of short lines for that. Although I'll give the same advice I give for any race, kind of look around for the shortest line. I always crack up still. People go to like the very first porta potty line. It ends up being like super long where if you just like walk around the corner,
like there's nobody
which
there.
Which is what I did before the race. It was either, oh, okay, there's this line of, must have been like 24 people in the line. And I walked around the corner and I walked right into a porta potty.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look around. Don't just jump at the very first line you see.
Yeah.
And that's always been the case of like all the R&Rs that we did.
Yeah, like go to the third set of porta potties,
yeah,
or whatever.
Look around, go to the farthest ones, you know, the kind of the ones off to,
yeah,
the side.
Nobody's gonna be over there.
There's nobody over there, but pre-race was pretty easy, right? Nothing else to say about pre-race.
No. I mean, we ended up parking in a lot that was
super close
to the start and the finish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think where people made the mistake was a lot of people came across some of the lots on the outskirts that were like fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was like signs that said like event parking here. And I think there was volunteers like waving people into the parking lot that a lot of people ended up, even
parking
if they got
there
early, like parking at the furthest lots.
Yeah.
So kind of left the closest lots for us. And some other people that actually took the time to read the website and the parking details,
mm-hmm.
and actually figure out what the closest one was.
Right.
So we actually knew exactly. I had it planned out because we were there the day before exactly where we would park. And I was like, okay, if this is full, I'm going to park on the city street, like right around the corner.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be a spot there, which there was.
Yeah, there was.
Like right on the street.
Yep.
So that's the pre-race, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else to say. Race went off.
A little late.
Delayed. It was like three, 4 minutes late. I have no idea why.
I don't really care.
I had my music going already.
I think they announced
already.
It. Why?
Yeah.
But I couldn't really understand why. I mean, like I literally couldn't understand the words.
Oh, I just had my music going. So I was like,
I could hear them. I just didn't understand the words.
Right.
Yeah.
So race went off without a problem. This was a, we did say we were doing a half marathon, right? We didn't
I think
miss
so
that
at some point.
Okay. Oh yeah. We said NorCal half. Duh. It's in the name.
Yeah.
But, it was like a lot of out and back on this course, but it was like half a mile out,
mm-hmm.
and then half a mile back. And then we kind of head to this trail.
There was an aid station there though.
Yeah.
Like,
we were all
first,
kind of
like within like the first half mile.
Yeah. This race was fun. Cause we actually had, several of our friends from the area that do a lot of races with us were there. So, we all joked afterwards that it was kind of crazy that there was an aid station at like not even half a mile in.
It was like 0.4 or something.
Yeah.
I did drink some water there because I was like, I'm kind of thirsty.
It just totally just tripped me out. I was like, really? I'm like, we barely gotten going.
I think it ended up being one of the 5K aid stations too, but it still would have been like at 0.4, I think,
I think
5K. So I don't know.
We started the race with like an out and back.
Mm-hmm.
So that aid station was really for the back part, which would have been probably at a mile.
Okay, that makes more sense.
For
like
the
5K,
that kind of makes sense. Maybe they had two aid stations for the 5K.
Right.
But it was kind of funny. The volunteers, I guess, were just anxious to hand out water. And, you know, most people I saw kind of just skipped the table because it was kind of so early. But it was funny. Nonetheless, we all kind of got a good laugh about it. But,
yeah,
it heads out to this trail that runs along a kind of like a big canal.
Yeah.
So one side of the trail is actually hard-packed dirt and gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So we ran out on that, and then what you end up doing is crossing a little overpass to the other side, and then you kind of basically just run back on the paved side.
Right.
And then you kind of do a little bit back in the town there, kind of going into the finish. But that was kind of the whole course, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it was mainly on that trail, like half of it dirt, gravel, and then the other half, like you said, paved.
Right.
Yeah.
So pretty straightforward. So, I mean, kind of imagine a big bike path. You know, for the number of people, there was plenty of room.
Yeah.
They did have pacing groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Running Addicts.
Yes.
Is the group. I'm
not
actually sure who they are. I think there's some type of running club or,
I think somewhere from like the San Jose area
or
South Bay area.
The interesting thing that I was talking to you after the race was very unusual. I never experienced this at a race before. Was normally, you know, you have your race start and everybody kind of takes off and there's always people, and maybe it's you, that are kind of, you know, there's slower people in front of you that you kind of have to like bob and weave and get around, or there's people behind you running faster than you, kind of bobbing and weaving, trying to get past you. And the start sometimes can be a little hectic, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And this race, it tripped me out because it's like everybody started exactly where they should.
Yeah, like there wasn't a lot of like jostling for
like I didn't have to pass people.
Anything.
There wasn't people like running past me. Like I was like, this is the most amazing start I've ever seen. I don't understand what happened. It's like, was it just 800 super experienced runners that knew exactly? Well, I guess it was like 500. But
yeah, I'm like, where did those other 300 come from?
300 random. I was counting the 5K people. Oh, okay. But, you know, is it 500 people that know exactly where they should be, and you know they're gonna have
maybe
you know the correct runner's etiquette and start in the right location.
Everybody started in the order that they were gonna finish. Right now,
it seemed did seem like that. I mean, it was like super organized. I mean, I think what helped was we did have pace groups,
mm-hmm.
And they were kind of staggered properly. Because I've been to races where the pace groups aren't even staggered properly. But so I don't know if people just kind of lined up properly according to pace groups and we were all super organized. But it was made the start like really nice.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out afterwards. And that was true. I mean, I think I only had to go around one person. I mean, like early on in the race, I only had to go around one person maybe at like 3/4 of a mile because they were walking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was it. You know, like they weren't walking prior to that and then they were walking. So I just had to go around that one person. But other than that, early on in the race, you're right. I didn't have to like dodge around people and I didn't feel like people were kind of having
going
to yeah, go around me. It was just kind of, we were all, like you said, where we needed to be.
Right.
Now, of course, at the end, you know, things change, but, or I don't know if you experienced that throughout the entire race.
There was people passing and I would pass people during the race, but I'm just so used to that starting off craziness.
Like people just...
Whether it's people going around me or me going around other people.
Right. Yeah, I didn't have that like at all.
That it just kind of like...
It was nice.
Amazed me to the point that I had to mention it at the very least because I was like, wow, this is so nice. So, yeah, so the race was kind of out and back on that canal type of thing. They had aid stations every 2 miles or something like that with water and...
Osmo?
Never heard of it.
Some sort of electrolyte drink, which I did not try. I'll go into why later, but...
I did try it. I didn't even know what it was. The volunteers just said water Gatorade. I was like, okay, you know, give me. And I actually don't even know what I was grabbing because I think I did the same thing last week at the other race that we did. Like I couldn't really hear or pay attention.
Grabbed whatever cup it was.
Whenever I got a spot to kind of grab a cup, I grabbed the cup and whatever was in it. So I know maybe the second aid station. Well, okay, I skipped the first one second. So it would have been like the third aid station. I grabbed something that would have been like the lime Gatorade. The lemon-lime Gatorade tasted just like it, actually. It tasted fine.
Did it really?
Yeah. I didn't really notice any difference. And then later on in the race, there was something totally different. I couldn't tell you what flavor it was. Didn't taste that great. But the lemon-lime one tasted, to me, just like Gatorade. So
interesting.
But that was okay. What else? Did they have porta-potties out on the course?
They did.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I noticed that. So
they had several. Especially, they had more during the first half of the race than they did the second half. So they had big porta potties on just, you know, next to the course. And then that was basically on the dirt/gravel part of the course. And then coming back, they had less porta potties, but they did have some. And then some of them were actually at like staging areas for the trail, you know, where people that just come in there to like ride their bikes or whatever, you know, they already had like porta potties or pit toilets there. So those were accessible too.
Okay.
Yeah. So they had quite a few. None probably in the last 2 miles, I think, though.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was nice because of the trail. You're basically spending all this time on the trail. So, you know, they didn't need streets closed or anything like that. So they didn't have a police presence or anything like that. So it was really easy getting around the course. I said it was a little weird because at the beginning there was that out and back, the first mile and a half. And then somewhere around mile 11, there was another little out and back, which was just, you know, we need to add something somewhere to get to 13.1. Right. So, but that was pretty good. And then I think we'll just kind of run through the course in general, and then we'll talk about our individual experiences. But finish line was easy, came through the finish. They had post-race.
Nice setup at the finish, you know, with one of those big
arches.
There you go.
Timing
mass. You like see me, like, I'm doing the hand motion, like, you guys can see me.
SVE timing, it's always timing. It's always chip-timed from every race that I've done with them.
Announce as many people's names as they can that are coming through, and sometimes where they're from and things like that. So that's pretty cool.
They had lots of post-race goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, including burritos, which is something that this race and the race that's related to this one is the Pleasanton Half Marathon, where we saw burritos at last year. But they have burritos again this year, which taste awesome after you run.
Yeah, they sure do.
Now, I don't know if that's because I ran or they're actually really good burritos, but I'll have to try one day when I'm not running to see how good they are. But they also had pizza, oranges,
bananas,
all that kind of good stuff.
Bagels.
Mm-hmm.
Donut holes.
Yeah, that little, was kind of cool,
little,
actually.
Little mini donuts.
Yeah. They did have a booth where they were doing massages afterwards.
Mm-hmm. They did have a booth for metal engraving for a cost. Right. I can't remember how much it cost, but I want to say like $15.
I think it was $15 or $20.
Yeah.
Because somebody asked.
They also had another booth where you could actually check your time, like after you finished.
Right after.
Yeah. So you would just head over there to basically the computer and punch in your bib number, and it would show you your official time mm-hmm. as of then. Or I guess, I don't know if it'd be unofficial, but whatever your time was and kind of your age group and placement and all that.
And did you look up your time afterwards online too?
Yeah.
Or no? Mm-hmm. And it was there, right?
On my phone, yeah.
Yeah. So
like,
I mean,
right away.
Yeah. That's one of the things I love about SVE timing. They have the results there available to you like immediately almost. And then you can always right there at the event, super fast, go online and find your time.
Right.
So it's not one of those events where you're kind of waiting for somebody to put up some piece of paper.
Yeah.
That's, you know, 40 minutes old with your official time. Although you need to see it.
Although when I was done, they did have the 5K times already printed on a table.
Well, the 5K would have been in for a while,
too. No, but I'm just saying that was already done, too. So
they do also do it the old-fashioned way.
Right, but, right. They also had a couple of other like sponsors that were there giving away a couple of freebies, like FRS was there, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And then they did have a stage and some chairs set up where they were going to do the awards stuff after the race.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the...
It was a nice setup.
Yeah, it was really nice. I mean, the amazing thing I would say is, you know, me, I'm usually kind of the nitpicky one when it comes to races. So let me go through all the negative things about this race.
Oh, boy.
That's it. I got nothing.
Oh, I was getting ready. I'm like, we did not discuss this.
No, I mean, honestly, maybe I'll say why I had a good time in a minute, but...
That wasn't the only reason, though.
I thought everything was just kind of perfect. You know, it's exactly, you know, it's what a small half marathon should kind of be. No problems, no issues, plenty of porta potties, plenty of food. The entire experience was just a good one with no problems.
And pacers, which isn't a common thing in an event this size.
For a small race like this, pacers, and they did a great job.
Yeah.
There's something else I was going to say about the size and then I forgot. But yeah, so it's in my opinion, I mean, I think you agree, right? Like everything was just... They just kind of nailed it. So
yeah,
pretty
I had no problems with the race itself at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good event.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a beautiful scenic course or anything like that, but
no,
but I didn't go in there expecting that. Oh, and I know what I was going to say. This was a relatively cheap race when we registered for it.
We kind of
did like a super early registration thing. And I don't remember what it was, but I think at the time it was like some 20% discount code that we even got. And this was like so early registration minus like 15 or 20%, whatever it was.
Yeah, this
was
a really good deal.
So really good deal, really good value. You know, sometimes I look for these things like, you know, the post-race food and kind of the extras that give you a little bit more for your money.
Mm-hmm.
And we should say the medals were pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
So no complaints there. So I think they nailed it all around. So maybe, you know, if they do the exact same course, you know, maybe that's something we do return to next year since it is pretty close to us.
Yeah.
So and we really had to travel.
I particularly liked the course because we were off of like just, like we were on that trail most of
right.
it.
Right. Versus
so
streets.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of like zone out a little bit if you want and just run on the trail.
So now, do you want to share anything about your actual race experience for you personally?
I think I just have just a couple things
okay.
to add.
Shoot.
So now I mentioned earlier that I didn't try the Osmo. Because one, I had never tried it before, which I know in the past I've actually tried other things before, like Cytomax, like, you know, during the race, just because I'm like, oh, okay, electrolyte drink, let me grab that. But I didn't do the Osmo because I was actually having stomach issues that morning and actually the night before. So I don't know if it was like what I ate for dinner, but my stomach was just not feeling good. So I didn't want to like try anything new. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know. I could explode if I try Osmo. I actually didn't mean it that way, but that's pretty funny. So I just didn't want to try anything new. So I think that was one of the reasons why I noticed all the porta potties, because I was like, just in case. And I'm like, yes, there's plenty here. Okay, which I didn't even need to use. But so that was the one thing. That's one thing I wanted to mention. The other thing I wanted to mention was I did start off with my gloves. You know, and that after that first little out and back section, which was no more than a mile, maybe less than that. I was kind of done with my gloves and I realized, oh, we're going to pass maybe about a block away from the finish line, you know, because we're still in the little, like, not, I guess, neighborhood or downtown. I guess it's downtown.
Yeah, I think it's
downtown Niles. I don't know, place is so small, it's kind of tough to say. So I guess downtown Niles, and I took my gloves off and actually threw them at a planter box, like, you know, just right at the corner, and I paid attention to the street sign. I'm like, okay, I'm like on this street, so it's like only one block away from like where the finish line is. And I was like, oh, I'll just come back and walk one block later and see if my gloves are still there. So I just tossed them and they were on the ground, and I came back after the race, like a little bit after the race, and they were still there. So score, I got to keep my gloves, and mm-hmm. I didn't have to carry them the whole way. So that, I just thought that was kind of funny. I'd never done that before, but I did toss them knowing like they could potentially be totally gone. Yeah. Like somebody could have thrown them away or something like that. So, and let's see, I think that was it specifically about my experience. Oh, the only other thing was the course was flat with the exception mm-hmm. of just the underpasses, which I mean,
yeah, the trail would just duck under roads. So right. you'd kind of just go down and up really, really quick.
Yeah. So other than that, it was pretty flat. So, my legs were feeling a bit tired from the trail run the day before, but you know, they warmed up after a while. I was very happy with my time. I wasn't definitely not trying to PR, and I did not, but I was still really happy with my time. My legs actually ended up feeling overall much better than I thought they would. My breathing was actually a lot better than I thought it would be. Like I didn't feel so out of breath, you know, even towards the end. I think my more limiting factor towards the end when I felt like I still had more to give was my stomach just wasn't feeling that great, like in the last 2 miles. And I just felt like if I pushed any more, it just wasn't going to be a good idea. So yeah, I felt pretty good for the majority of the race. I really enjoyed it. Weather was really great. And I got a pretty, should I mention my time now or?
Otherwise, somebody always asks. So yeah,
always asks.
We always share the times because
yeah, okay.
somebody always
asks.
So
my official time was 1:41:48, which was only about a minute off of my half marathon PR.
So I mean, that's
I was not expecting to even be that close.
I mean, that's actually super good considering
yeah.
you ran a full a week ago. And you
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. You ran a full a week ago and you ran a trail run
the day before
this race. So
yeah.
that's actually super. I mean, it
so I think that trail running is like
helping you out,
helping me out here.
Well, it would have been interesting what your time would be, you know, had you not run the day before and had the week before you didn't run the full, maybe you did, you know, a 15-mile training run or something
right,
like
right.
that. It would have been, you know, this could have been a new PR for you.
Right.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. yeah. But I was totally thrilled because I just, in my head, I was thinking, okay, you know, I'm definitely not going to PR, which is like, I think it was one, what's my PR? 1:40:44, I think.
Yeah.
yeah. So, I'm like, but I, for the most part, I've been pretty consistent finishing like around 1:45 or, you know, between 1:41 and 1:45. So I just figured I'd just try to make it in under 1:45. So mm-hmm. I was definitely happy with this time. So, yeah.
Now, you didn't hang with any pace groups, did you, during the race?
I didn't. My goal was, because I started off close to the 1:40 and the 1:45, and I was like, okay, I definitely don't want to hang with the 1:40 because I'm just going to start off too fast. So I planned on hanging with the 1:45 for a while, and then just kind of, if I felt like it, you know, go ahead of them. But I don't know exactly what happened. I ended up in front of them, and then I just tried to hold my own pace. I was just trying to hold under, like, 8 minutes. And I was able to do that, and I just didn't really see them, so... And then I was too far behind the 1:40 to see them. So mm-hmm. I was kind of on my own with a couple of other people that we kind of like were pretty close together for the majority of the race. And you just kind of, you know, leapfrog a little bit
right.
and that sort of thing. So there was actually one guy that talked to me. I guess actually I went up to him after the race, you know, because I had been with him like almost the entire time. And I just kind of lost him in the last like 2 miles. And, you know, he wasn't that far behind me, but he was behind me. And he's like, oh man, he's like, thanks. He's like, I used you as like, you know, to pace me like for the last like 2 miles. He's like, you're pretty consistent with your pace. I'm like, well, I've been like working hard on that, you know, trying to be pretty consistent and not really change a lot on my pace. So it was kind of nice to talk to somebody. But yeah, no, I didn't hang out with any particular pace group, but I did see, you know, because we could actually see a lot of the other racers, you know, because you're on the other side of the creek,
yeah,
basically,
yeah.
or canal. So you can actually kind of see, like, you can tell when there was, like, a pace group coming by. Not even just because of the signs, but you just see, like, oh, okay, group of people. Okay, like, one person, two people, one person. Oh, group of people. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I think that's all I had with my experience in particular. So, oh, well, I got third in my age group.
That's right. So you
yeah.
actually did get a nice little plaque
yeah.
post-race, which was
yeah,
kind of
cute
cool.
little plaque. I thought it was awesome.
So congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But it was, I kind of didn't expect it because I had checked my time and everything right after on my phone. And I even went to their computer and checked it, and it showed me as fourth. It's like, oh, I'm like so close. And then, so I thought for sure, okay, fourth, right. You know, didn't get it. And then when I was talking to you and, you know, the other people that we knew there, that had run the race, and you guys are like, oh, well, you know, how much did you like miss third by? I'm like, I don't know. Let me look. And then I pulled up the result again, and I was actually third. I'm like, what? So then, you know, by that time they already had some printed results for the half marathon. So I went over there with one of our friends and took a look, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, somebody must've been like in the wrong age group or something. So
yeah, they must've had some type of correction.
Yeah. So I was like third, and I'm like, yeah. So
yeah, I thought it was really cool that you got a plaque and not like a little medal.
Yeah.
Because I think the plaques are cool because you can like, take it to work or put it in your house. Like it's easy just to put that kind of like on a desk or on a counter.
I could try to wear it.
That would be difficult. You can wear the race finisher medal, but not the plaque. So, I mean, it was small, like glass.
It's small,
plaque,
yeah.
But it was
but
really cool.
I think it's really cool. Yeah. I was excited about that. So, okay, I'm done with my experience. Your turn.
Okay, so my experience, I went into this, I guess, with no goals, no plans, I guess you could say. I thought I pushed it a little too hard the week before at Buzz. Just because I was kind of like really hilly. So, no plans. I mean, my goal, I think recently was, you know, I'm going to try to get a little bit faster. And I kind of decided that I was going to try to PR in May at Pleasanton Half Marathon, which mm-hmm. is actually the race that, like I said, is kind of related to this one, part of a two-part
series.
It's a two-part series. It used to be a three-part.
Yeah.
It's a whole other story there.
Can you call it a series if it's only two parts?
Well, that's...
Okay, anyways.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
All right.
But, so, I mean, I started this race. First mile, I kind of went out faster than I should have. And I said to myself at the first mile, I'm like, well, I've gone out a little bit too fast, but... whatever. I'm just going to keep kind of going with it. You know, we said we had friends there, one of which she actually always runs faster than me. So a little bit faster. But, mm-hmm. you know, so in a lot of races I see her early on, we actually ran CIM the first like 8 miles together.
Yeah.
So we're kind of in the same neighborhood of running, but she typically runs a little bit faster. So she was ahead of me like normal. So I kind of just used her to kind of pace me for the first like 4 or 5 miles, which is I ran those first 4 or 5 miles faster than I planned or really should have, I guess. But I just kind of kept hanging on. We were actually just behind the 2-hour pace group
mm-hmm.
almost the entire time. We could always see them. They were off in the distance. Kind of just always just lagging behind them, keeping them within our sights, I guess you could say. And we actually started right next to them at the start line. So if anybody, I was out of place at the start line, which is kind of interesting, but
you're a little ahead.
I was a little bit further up than I should have been, but that's because I expected everybody to kind of be in the wrong spot. So I didn't need to plan for that. But yeah, first 4 or 5 miles, I was feeling pretty good, pushing pretty hard for myself. I really, when I realized kind of where this course was going to be, and I realized that it was going to be a lot of hard packed dirt and gravel, I kind of said to myself, oh, this is like a race that's kind of catered to me because I like running on the packed dirt because mm-hmm. it kind of saves my knees, saves my IT band a little bit,
yeah.
kind of takes a little bit of the pounding out. So I was kind of feeling pretty good with that. So kind of going through 6-7 miles, I was still hanging on. I think my plan at like 6 or 7 was I said to myself, I'm going to do a Mo Farah and use this as a practice for my PR.
Uh-huh.
So I figured I'm just going to go at this pace for as long as I can. And if I blow up at 8, if I blow up at 10, then that's fine. I've just kind of practiced the first 8 miles of
at the pace that you
at a pretty good pace. So I mean, I guess my PR going into this was 2:06. So, you know, trying to kind of keep a two-hour pace group in the distance wasn't easy. But we just kind of kept trekking along. We kind of joked, or she kind of joked that she was trying to catch that 2-hour pace group, but just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of just always like, you're running, and you're not making any
like
ground.
Like not getting
up.
Any closer.
Yeah. But we kind of kept trekking along, and she really helped me like the first 5 miles, because I was kind of just really hanging on to her for the first 5. And then kind of like 5 to 8, we kind of just kept switching off a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went kind of back and forth. At 8 miles, my goals changed, and I said, you know, I was running really strong. I was on a pace to PR. I'm weird in that I kind of skipped the whole PR idea, and I said, I'm either going to go under 2 or... I'm not. I'm like, I don't care about the PR. So it was
about 2:06.
Yeah. So, I mean, my old PR was 2:06. I was looking at this 2-hour pace group that's off in the distance. And I kind of said to myself, I'm going under 2, or it was like 2 or bust.
Yeah.
And I just said, I'm fine with that because I wasn't planning on PRing anyway. So yeah. If I didn't care. But I mean, at that point, I was almost like, I can kind of shut it down a little bit and still PR. It's kind of what I felt in my head. So at mile 8, I just said, all right, I got to catch that pace group. And I just kind of got super concentration mode, and slowly just kind of kept reeling them in, and I spent the next 2 miles working my butt off. That was kind of like the hardest work I've ever done in a race.
Were both of you still together?
Yeah, she was kind of hanging on to me. Okay. I was kind of, I think...
Did you say anything to her? I'm just curious. Like, did you say, like, hey, I'm going for it? Or
no,
you just
we didn't
went
really
for
talk.
It, and she just, like, was probably like, okay, I'm going to hang on as much as I can.
Yeah, she was just hanging on to me, I think, from, like, 8 to 10, when I was kind of saying to myself that I'm kind of going to try to chase this down. And, you know, it got tough because there was like an aid station at 9.5 and I kind of lost her at 9.5 because she stopped to walk as she drank some water. And I tried to just kind of take some water on the run, which I got to say, I'm not used to anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing a lot of run walk in the past. I kind of got used to like stopping at aid stations and kind of walking through them. And, you know, this race, I actually did no walking. I think I barely walked at one or two aid stations for maybe like 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Other than that, I didn't do any walking at all. So, I kind of lost her at 9.5. And I think I finally caught that pace group at about mile 10. And she was kind of lagging in the distance. But I think at that point, once I caught it, that was kind of her motivation to try to catch me and the group. So,
close the gap.
I hung with them from like 10 to 11. And man, it's tough. You exert so much energy trying to catch that pace group.
Yep.
And then you get there and it's like, my God, now it's like so hard to just hang on to the back of this pace group. You know, this is so tough. But I managed to hang on with them from 10 to 11. And she actually caught up at mile 11 and then shocked me when she kind of not only caught up, but kind of just blew right by us. And I was like, oh, okay, there's no way she's keeping this up. Like, she's going to fade back to us. And well, she never faded. But I stuck with the pace group, I think, until... So I was with the pace group from like 10 to 12 and a half. And then... actually went past the pace group, but for the 2 miles I was there, the people in the pace group, there was like two of them, did a great job of like encouraging people and calling out bikers, because you know this trail was open to the general public. It wasn't a closed course or anything like that, keeping everybody motivated. So I'm sure they did that the whole race, but they did an awesome job, I'll say, for the 2.5 miles I was there. But like 12 and a half, I decided to go ahead of them, and I'm always fearful that the pacer has it wrong, so I'm like, there's the 2 hour pace group, I'm trying to go under two now. I don't want to like finish with them and then run a 2:01.
Yeah, I was going to say,
because
like,
they screwed up.
Right.
So I just kind of pushed through and went ahead of them, and I was actually able to stay ahead of them. I finished in 1:59:17, throwing down a new PR for myself by 7 minutes.
Yeah,
I think, and crazy. Going under two, which is something I totally did not plan on, like at all. Did not expect at all. So I was super excited when we finished. Still kind of super excited.
Yeah.
I was super dead beat tired when we finished. I actually thought I might hurl for a minute after the race.
I thought you were going to too.
I started like coughing and I was like, oh, wait a minute. I kind of walked off towards like the gutter and I was like, just in case I got to hurl. I don't want to like do it like right here by the finish line. But I didn't. So that was good. But it was really tough. It's definitely the most I've ever concentrated during a race. It's like I had to like really kind of batten down the hatches to just hang on to the pace I was running earlier, and then catching that pace group was like super tough, but I actually really liked the challenge of it.
Yeah.
And then just kind of hanging with them was,
I think it's kind of nice to have that rabbit, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, like two right there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was really nice having a friend kind of like almost pacing you unintentionally. And then it was nice having that pace group off in the distance, kind of like you said, being your rabbit to like chase you down. Pace groups are kind of, at least at smaller races, they're almost kind of depressing when you get into like the last mile or two, because they tend to like really come apart. Either people tend to kind of pop and go backwards, or you get the people with more energy that kind of go forward. And so all of a sudden, you know, you start getting, at least in a half marathon, from like 12 to 12.75. It just seems like, where'd everybody go? You know, if you stick with the pacer, it's like, it's just you and the pacer. And I've did that once before. I remember like Pasadena last year. Like, you know, at the very end, it's like all of a sudden everybody's like gone. Where'd everybody go? It's kind of depressing, but because like I said, it kind of just comes apart. People go in different directions. But so I'm super happy with my time. I don't know when I'll run that kind of pace again.
But, Pleasanton.
Maybe. I mean, maybe. It's kind of funny now that I've gone under two. I really and like I said, this was my plan to PR in May. So I've kind of done this like 2.5 months early. So I'm like, I don't know what to do now. don't really have any plans. It's like now that I've gone under two, it's not like there's any big kind of milestones. In terms, like, okay, I've run a 159, like,
right,
it's not like 157.
Two is pretty big.
Yeah, it's not like 157 is like a kind of a noticeable number that sticks in your head,
right.
Like that. But I really think over the last month, I've, and maybe I'll talk about kind of how my training went more specifically, but because I think it might help some people. But I've really concentrated on running my easy runs during the week a little bit faster than I would in the past, and actually kind of have a plan for all my easy runs right now. And then kind of having done a couple weeks of trail running and that Buzz Marathon, which was hilly, I think that hill work kind of built some extra strength in my legs, although I didn't do that much of it. I think it helped. So
I completely agree.
I think those two things combined, along with what I said, was, you know, when I realized, hey, this is kind of the perfect course for me because I can run on so much dirt here, and because it's relatively flat, you know, it was perfect for my knees and my legs, and it was like it was catered to me. So, yeah, so I'm pretty happy with that. So.
Yeah. I was pretty excited when you came through under two. And even when our friend came in under two, because this was her first under two.
It's the first time she went under two.
Right. Yeah. And it was funny because even before the race, you know, I think I had asked you like, oh, like, what are your plans? You have like a time, and you're like, nah, really? I'm like, PR? You're like, nah. I'm like, okay. And then I even asked her too. I'm like, oh, you know, do you have any specific time plan, you know, under two? She's like, no. She's like, I'm probably going to try to like be around 2:05 or something like that. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I was like, when you guys were coming in under two, I was like, what? I'm like, you guys just like blew it out of the water. Like, that was awesome. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty excited for you guys.
Yeah, I really thought if I pushed myself, I would come in somewhere between my PR of 2:06 and like 2:12. Mm-hmm. I thought had I pushed myself, that kind of would have been like, I could see myself coming in that time just because having friends and being a smaller race and flat. I'm like, I could probably do that if I had a really good day, but mm-hmm. I didn't expect to go under two. So that was actually a lot of fun, really exciting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was an awesome event all around. Yeah.
So yesterday was like a like, you know, one of those days. It's like nothing's going to ruin my day because I had a good race this morning.
Exactly.
I'm like, I'm super excited. So
I was dead beat tired last night though.
I was
that's probably the most tired I've been in a long time, even including a Buzz Marathon. I don't know why. I think that 8.5 mile trail run the day before, and then, you know, pretty good time at NorCal Half Marathon. I was like so tired. I was like ready for bed like at 8 p.m.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was totally wiped out. You know, we're recording this the day after today's Monday. I was sore this morning giving mm-hmm. up. I was kind of more tired than I have been recently under half marathons.
Yeah.
After half marathons.
Huh. What does that feel like?
So, yeah, it definitely took a lot out of me. I got 8 hours sleep last night, but I think, you know, had I not had to go to work this morning, I think I could have slept 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Easily.
I think I got 9 easily, and I probably, if I didn't have to get up for work, probably 10.
So, which but is expected.
It's that recovery.
Yeah. We both ran pretty hard. So, yeah, I'm actually, next week, I think, is going to be more of a recovery week for me.
Mm-hmm.
And might step back the mileage a little bit because I've actually been increasing my mileage, I think, now for 5 weeks straight. So I'm going to take it a little bit easy, celebrate my PR a little bit. I know I had some chocolate chip cookies last night. It was like my guilty pleasure, guilty reward to celebrate. So, so that's kind of wraps it up.
Yeah.
Good race. Good day.
Absolutely.
I'm super happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've said like super happy, super excited like 10 times now, but I'm going to keep saying it. So
how happy are you?
Super excited.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's jump into some feedback. We heard from, several people this week.
That's too funny. Sorry.
We heard from Rachel, who said she is doing her first marathon.
Yes.
At Rock and Roll San Diego.
Yep.
So I just wanted to say good luck to you when that rolls around. Let us know how that
know how it goes.
New course.
That's right.
Works out. Hopefully it's, we didn't do the full marathon course last
but we
year.
But we saw quite a bit of it, though, with the part that was very similar to the half.
So good luck and have fun with that. Good to hear from you. We also heard from Chris, who's also going to be doing Chicago.
Yeah.
So I guess you were lucky enough to get into the race.
That's 3 of the 30,000.
Yeah. We took 3 spots. Awesome. And actually mentioned about if we're going to do some type of meetup at the race, which we'll think about doing as we get closer to the race.
Yeah.
That's October. So do some kind of meetup. If anybody else is doing Chicago, let us know.
Right.
And
or
like
is
we
in
said,
that area and wants to
come hang out.
Yeah.
And like we said, there's still 15,000 spots if you want to get into
there
it.
There you go.
We also heard from Bill, who's going to be doing the LA Marathon.
Next month.
And was asking if we were going to be there. Unfortunately, we were not going to be there this year.
Yeah.
LA Marathon is on our list to do someday.
Right.
But not this year. And I think whenever we do it, I'm going to do it LA and San Francisco in the same year. Because I think they still do that West Coast Challenge thing.
Yeah.
Do you get an extra medal? Or a shirt? Sweatshirt?
Something.
You get something extra for doing both in the same year. So it makes sense just to kind of go after the bling and the reward.
You get an extra pat on the back.
It could be. I think that was a new thing, but
what, the pat on the back?
No.
Oh.
The challenge to do both in the same year.
Got it, got it.
I thought that was a newer thing, but I think they're still doing it.
I think so, too.
This year's kind of an odd year because San Francisco is earlier than normal.
Right.
Because of the America's Cup.
Yeah.
It's going to be out of San Francisco, so they moved the race up, and I think next year the race is going to go back to
July,
which is its normal time. But so LA will do someday. We also heard from Luke, who's in Australia.
Yeah.
So I think
that's
he might
awesome,
be the furthest listener that we have.
Yeah.
from the farthest away, I guess. I don't know how to say that.
Right.
But he's actually coming to California to do the, well, I don't know why you're coming to California, but you're going to be doing the Oakland Marathon while you're out here.
What do you mean? California's great.
No, California's awesome, but I don't think he's coming just to do the Oakland Marathon.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah. I thought you meant like, I don't know why you're coming to California.
No, everybody should come to California. I totally recommend that. But he's going to be doing the Oakland Marathon and asked if we were going to be doing it. It's not something we had on the schedule. He mentioned it, and all of a sudden I really started to think about whether we should do it.
Well, we started thinking about doing the half.
The half marathon.
Not the full.
Not the full.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be doing the full. Right. Maybe only half crazy.
Yeah, which we were trying to figure out how we can fit it in. And unfortunately, it's like really close to the race, so it's kind of registration's kind of jumped up in price.
Right.
And then I found out from somebody else there was a $10 off coupon that
we
expired
just
like 4 days ago.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was like 4 days ago. So I don't think we're going to be out at Oakland. The only thing that you mentioned yesterday that got me thinking back to, ooh, maybe we should go do Oakland half marathon. Would you say the race starts at what time?
The half marathon starts at 9:30.
Which I'm just like, oh, that is so awesome. Like, we wouldn't have to, like, get up that early.
Even yesterday, I think you were saying when we were getting up pretty early to that for that 7 or 7:30 start time, you're like, from now on, when I register for races, I'm going to look at the start time, and that's how I'm going to be. Wasn't that yesterday that you said
that?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. This past weekend, I just didn't want to get up early for some reason. So, right. So when I saw that Oakland half marathon kind of started so late in the morning, I was like, So I'm still giving that some
So we don't think we'll be there, but
don't expect us there, but
if
we do decide to go,
100% sure we're not gonna be there.
Yeah, we'll mention it, and
we'll let you know.
Yeah, next week we'll kind of maybe share a little bit about Oakland Marathon. We're kind of running out of time today, but we'll talk a little bit about it next week, because they actually do a little bit of they do some cool things there, and they they always promote their race pretty well. So I think Oakland's been around for a couple of years. It's kind of a...
I think it's like the fourth year, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Although, technically, I think years and years and years ago,
there was
a
long time ago.
So there is some history there to it. But we also mentioned, I think, Luke, you're going to have to be our consultant from Australia, because I don't think we mentioned it on the show, but we were kind of thinking about the Sydney Running Festival, Sydney Marathon in Australia, doing that next year.
Right. Which 2014.
Which I think the race is in September.
Yeah.
So he had some notes on Australian races. So maybe we'll share that with everybody next week and give me a chance to actually look up some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll probably ask you, Luke, for some help with that going on. Because I think that might be, we've been thinking about going to Australia for like years and years. So.
And now, you know, we found several races.
Yeah. Well, my thought process was that, you know, if we just find a race in Australia to do and register for it, then it kind of. I mean, it sounds crazy, but kind of forces us to like, okay, we're nailed into a date and a time. So now it's just, you just got to
build your vacation around it.
Yeah. plan it out and book your airplane and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's that. So thanks for the emails.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. Keep them coming. We might do some type of meetup in Disneyland also, because I think we have some people who are going to be down there for that. So
if anybody's interested, let us know.
Or if you just see it at any race, come and say hello.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to do it for the episode.
Yeah.
Went a little long.
Kind of covered a lot.
I was kind of long-winded because I was super excited.
Right. And super happy. Even though you got up so early. See, it worked out.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, you have a PR, ordered some new shoes. I'm like, okay, now I'm really looking forward to, like, the upcoming week and running. Kind of, like, invigorates you a little bit and kind of gets you to, like, I want to go do some more training. So, yeah.
You're motivated right now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. You can go, run right now, huh? No, you gotta rest.
No, I'm kind of tired. I'm still in recovery mode, so tomorrow though I'll be running. So
cool.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, so the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. Facebook page is facebook.com/embracerunning. You can send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com, or you could leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. That's going to do it for this week. So until next time, keep running.